Good morning. It's good to be here, and it's good to be here on a sunny day. It just makes me feel better, so that's more likely that you'll get a service that's worth listening to. But you'll be the judge of that, won't you? Come, people of God, gather in trust and hope. The Lord is our refuge, a strong rock, and a safe dwelling place. In every season of life, our times are held in God's hands. When we're afraid, God is near. When we are in need, God is faithful. God's steadfast love surrounds us, and God's face shines upon us. So come, bring your whole selves into this moment, your joys and your burdens, your faith and your questions. Let's turn our hearts to God and worship with trust and with confidence. Living God, source of all life, creator of heaven and earth, we lift our hearts in praise. In the mystery of your being, you are from everlasting to everlasting. In the wonder of your works, you bring forth life in all its fullness. The heavens declare your glory, and the earth is filled with the riches of your grace. In Jesus Christ, risen and reigning, you are making all things new. You have passed through death and opened the way to life unending. The stone is rolled away, the tomb is empty, and a new creation has begun. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. All time and all history find their meaning in you. Your kingdom is among us, a kingdom of mercy and justice, of reconciliation and peace. We are part of your kingdom. Worthy are you, O God, to receive glory and honor and power with the whole company of heaven, with all God's people of every age, and with all creation renewed by your love. We join our song of praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to you who sit upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. We praise you for the gift of new life, for the promise of your presence, and for the hope that does not fade. In your light, we see light. In your love, we are made whole. In your faithfulness, we stand secure. All praise to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Christ calls us into a new commandment, that we love one another as he has loved us. Yet we know that we do not always live in that love. So trusting in God's mercy and confident that God is making all things new, let's confess our sins. Loving God, you've shown us the way of life in Jesus Christ. Yet we confess that we fall short of your calling. We've not loved one another as Christ has loved us. We've turned away from those in need and failed to recognize your image in our neighbors. We've held on to fear instead of trust and chosen what is easy rather than what is right. Forgive us, we pray. Renew us by your Spirit that we may walk in newness of life and reflect your love in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear friends, hear the good news. The risen Christ says, behold, I am making all things new. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven, renewed and set free to love and to live to God's glory. God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Therefore, let us embrace the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ, for we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Rejoicing in God's saving grace, let's pray together as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we're going to hear now from God's word.
Our first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, beginning at verse 54. The religious leaders of Jerusalem heard Stephen's speech to their council. They became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. And our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of John. Chapter 14. Jesus, the way to the Father. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know the Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the word of the Lord.
Speak to God. So as we come to reflect on the words we've heard from Scripture, let's pray together. Lord, may your Spirit shine brightly in our hearts and minds today, lifting us in our understanding, helping us to grow in faith and to recognize you, even when it's unclear the way ahead. Speak to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I've asked this question before, but how many of you have a sat-nav device? A few, enough to know. Well, when we first acquired our satellite navigation device, one of the decisions that you had to make was which voice you wanted it to use. And there was a limited choice. But I understand that you could actually download different options, some recorded by famous people, such as John Cleese and Joanna Lumley. I'm not sure how I'd respond to either of them giving me directions. You could choose a calm voice, an enthusiastic voice, or even a slightly sarcastic one. Apparently, if you missed a turning, instead of gently saying, recalculating, it would say, really? That was your exit. Now, most of us rely on directions like that, on something or someone telling us where to go. Remember the days of the big atlas and the arguments with your wife or husband about which way you should have gone? And we like it best, don't we, when the route is very clear, straightforward, and free of obstacles, unlike trying to get here this morning. We want the quickest path, the safest path, and the least stressful journey, don't we? That's what we want. But life isn't like that, is it? Faith certainly isn't like that. In our readings today, we're given two very different scenes, but they speak to the same deep truth about following Jesus. In our gospel reading, Jesus speaks tenderly to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," and then says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." In Acts, we see Stephen, faithful, courageous Stephen, standing before an angry crowd facing death, and yet somehow seeing the glory of God in that moment. One passage feels like comfort, the other feels like crisis. And yet the lectionary from which those readings are drawn places the two together because in one sense they belong together. Jesus begins with these words, "Do not let your heart be troubled." It's worth noticing that he doesn't say that into a peaceful moment, but on the night before his death, when all that the disciples had imagined, all the disciples' expectations would collapse about them. Everything they thought they understood was about to be shaken. And Jesus doesn't say, "There's nothing to worry about." He says, "Trust in God. Trust also in me." And this matters deeply, doesn't it? Because faith is not about having all the answers. It's about trusting the one who does. Do you remember that advert? "I don't know, but I know a man who does." Well, I don't know, but I know a God who does. It's about grace before certainty, relationship before understanding. God doesn't offer a map. He offers himself. "I am the way," says Jesus. Not, "I'll show you the way," not even, "I'll teach you the way," but, "I am the way." That's both comforting and a little unsettling because it means that the Christian life isn't about mastering a set of rules or directions. It's about following a person. And that person sometimes leads us into places we would not choose to go ourselves. And that brings us to Stephen, doesn't it? If ever there was a moment when someone might say, "Lord, I think we've taken a wrong turn," that would definitely be it, wouldn't it? Stephen has done everything right. He's spoken truthfully, lived faithfully, and borne witness to Christ. He's done all that he was called to do. And what happens? He's dragged out, condemned, and stoned. No detour, no escape route, no last-minute rescue. And yet this is the astonishing thing. Stephen isn't abandoned. As the stones fall, he looks up and says, "I see the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Notice that. Standing. Quite rightly, when Catherine said sitting instead of standing, she knows that in the majority of phrases throughout Scripture, it clearly says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. So it's not surprising when we see it different, it stands out. Here, Jesus stands. When I was at school, I went to an all-boys school, and if any member of staff entered the room, we stood up. We were then told eventually to sit down, but sometimes the member of staff forgot and left the room, and we were still standing. But why is Jesus standing here? Well, perhaps he's standing to acknowledge the arrival of Stephen. Here, he receives Stephen to honour him, to be present with him in his suffering. Not sat down watching as a distant king, but standing with Stephen in that moment. This is not the way we would plan things, but it is the way of Christ, that Christ stands with us, embraces us in our suffering. Now imagine you're walking a mountain path, and I've only done that a few times, and the disaster didn't strike, but I was walking to some waterfalls in Wales, and we took a wrong turning, and to our right was a sheer drop. But imagine now that you've been led to that path and told that it leads to a breathtaking view, but halfway up, the path becomes steep, rocky, and frankly, quite unpleasant. I know how that feels. You're tired, your legs ache, and you begin to wonder, is this really the right way? And at that moment, you have a choice, don't you? Do you trust the person who told you about the view? Or do you turn back because the path is harder than we expected? And faith is often like that too. We want a faith that feels like a gentle stroll through a park, but more often, it's a enduring climb. The promise of Christ isn't that the path will be easy, but that he himself is the path and he is with us on it. I think there's a lovely moment here with Thomas. I love Thomas. Thomas always said what everyone else was thinking but was too scared to say. Almost a bit of humour in Thomas's question. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And you can almost hear a slight sense of exasperation or frustration. He's saying, Jesus, just give us clear directions. Jesus replies, not with a map, but with himself. I am the way. I was once participating in a church meeting where we were discussing God's purposes and plans and discerning what it was that God was calling us to do. And one man in frustration stood up and said to the minister, just tell us what we should do and we'll do it. It's as if Thomas is asking for a step-by-step instruction, and Jesus says, you already have everything you need. You have me. And that's still true for us. We have Jesus. And going a little deeper, when Jesus says, I am the way, he's not speaking so much about guidance. He's speaking about access to. No one comes to the Father except through me. And in our tradition, we may understand this not as exclusion for its own sake, but as a profound declaration of God's grace, that our access to God isn't something we achieve, but something that is given to us in Christ. We don't climb our way to God. God comes to us in Christ, which means our hope doesn't rest on the strength of our faith, but on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Even when our trust falters, even when our understanding is limited, even when our hearts are troubled, Christ remains the way to the very heart of God's love. And Stephen embodies that truth. Notice how he dies. He entrusts himself to Christ. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he forgives. Lord, don't hold this against them. These are not heroic achievements of human strength. They're the fruit of a life shaped by grace. Stephen doesn't summon this from within himself. He reflects what he has received in Christ, which raises a question for us, doesn't it? What is shaping us? Is it fear? Is it resentment? Is it the need to be right? I'll just pause there for a moment to let that one sink into my head. Or is it to be in control? Or is it the grace of Christ slowly, patiently reshaping our hearts? Think of a piece of music. If you listen to it often enough, it begins to stay with you. You find yourself humming it without realizing. It shapes your mood, your rhythm, even your breathing. In the same way, the gospel is meant to dwell in us so that over time our lives begin to echo its melody. so that in moments of stress, we lean toward trust. In moments of conflict, we lean toward forgiveness. In moments of fear, we lean toward hope. Not perfectly, but increasingly. And what does it mean to follow Christ as the way in ordinary life? It might mean choosing a particular way, choosing integrity when cutting corners or costs would have been easier. It might mean speaking truth gently into a culture of harshness. It might mean staying present with somebody who is suffering rather than avoiding the discomfort. It might mean trusting God in a season where nothing feels certain. And sometimes, though we may not like to admit it, it may mean walking a path that others just don't understand. Stephen's faithfulness wasn't applauded. It was resisted and rejected. And yet, his witness was not wasted. We read about it today. But who was in the crowd? Who was holding the coats? Saul, who stood there approving. And he would one day become Paul. Surely Stephen's faith said something to him. We don't always see the fruit of our faithfulness, but God is at work in ways that we cannot see. Friends, where is Christ calling us to trust him more deeply? Where might we be resisting the path he's setting before us? What would it look like to follow him not just in belief, day by day in our daily life? And perhaps more importantly, what troubles your heart, my heart, today? Because Jesus' words are not abstract. They're not just a lovely piece of literary presentation or poetic terminology. They're spoken into real fear, real uncertainty, and real lives. When he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." We may not always understand the way. We may not always find it easy. But we're not left to navigate it alone. Christ is the way. Christ is with us on the way. And Christ is leading us home. Amen. So let us pray to God, who is our refuge and the way, who meets us in our fear and leads us into life. And during our prayers, we'll use the response that's on the screen. When our hearts are troubled, lead us in your way. Faithful God, we pray for your church throughout the world. As Stephen bore witness, even in the face of hostility, give your church courage to proclaim the gospel with boldness and grace to reflect the mercy of Christ. Where your church is divided, bring unity. Where it's fearful, bring confidence. Where it's weary, renew it by your Spirit. Keep your people steadfast in faith and alive to the vision of your glory. When our hearts are troubled, lead us in your way. And we pray for the nations of the world and for all who hold authority and power. In places torn by conflict, injustice and oppression, where violence silences truth and fear shapes decisions, bring the light of your kingdom. Turn hearts from hatred to compassion, from vengeance to reconciliation, from despair to hope. And guide leaders in the paths of justice and peace, especially those who seemingly have wandered so far from them, that all people may live without fear. When our hearts are troubled, lead us in your way. And we pray for those who suffer for their faith and not for all who are persecuted or misunderstood. As Stephen entrusted his spirit to you and prayed for those who harmed him, grant to your people a spirit of forgiveness and steadfast hope in you. Sustain us with the vision of your presence and let your glory be their strength when all else is taken away. when our hearts are troubled. Lead us in your way. We pray for all whose hearts are troubled this day, for the anxious and the afraid, for the sick and the dying, for those weighed down by grief or loss, and for those who feel they have no place to belong. In Christ, you have prepared a dwelling place for your people. Draw near to them with your peace and lead them in the way that brings life and healing. When our hearts are troubled, lead us in your way. And we pray for our communities and for this place. Help us to follow Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Teach us to love one another as he has loved us, to welcome the stranger, to care for those in need, and to walk together in faithfulness and trust. Shape us, day by day, moment by moment, into a people who reflect your love in this world. When our hearts are troubled, lead us in your way. And we remember before you those who have died and those who may now see your glory face to face. We give thanks for all who, like Stephen, have trusted you to the end and now rest in your eternal presence. Comfort those who mourn and strengthen us in the hope of resurrection, that we may follow Christ without fear. When our hearts are troubled, lead us in your way. And living God, you are our dwelling place and our peace. We hold our present and our future. You hold our present and our future in your hands. And so in a time of silence, let's bring to our loving God those things that rest on our hearts today. Lord, when our hearts are troubled, lead us in your way. And so receive these prayers and lead us in the way of Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, now and always. Amen. And our final hymn, Thy Hand, O God, Has Guided. So let's go now in peace. Let not your hearts be troubled, says the Lord. Trust in God and trust in Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and who leads us into the very heart of God. Let's walk in his way with confidence, resting in his truth with assurance, and share in his life with joy. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us and remain with us always. Amen.